Okay, thank you. Please turn in your Bibles to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6, we're going to talk about the life of Daniel. We talked about, started a series on Daniel, two-week series. Pastor had a tooth issue last week. This week he's at the Ark in Kentucky and the Creation Museum. So hopefully we'll have a chance for him to get away. Hopefully he enjoys this little trip and he can get a little bit of a break. He's definitely earned it, so hopefully he enjoys his time away. But we talked last week about Daniel and remember his friends and being pressured to eat the king's meat. I gave the example of integrity, the example of someone that we all like, Abraham Lincoln, and how he was known for being Honest Abe, and you know, people seem to universally like him. And I even have a slide of Honest Abe. Did you know this? There it is. There he is. Although this is him at the end. He's aged, you can see. I give you an example of someone who does not have integrity. Someone that I don't think anyone really likes this person too much. Have you ever heard of this person? Do you know who this person is? Okay. Some of you knowing people nodding your heads. For those of you that are young that may not know, this is a man named Bernie Madoff. And in the financial world, they have a saying, if an investment sounds too good to be true, it probably is. And this was this guy. He got fantastic returns on all this investing. Always had great corporate earning numbers. A number of people reported him to the FTC. And he was investigated multiple times, but they said he's squeaky clean, which he really wasn't. They didn't really search very much. And then eventually when the stock market went down, he couldn't cover what people wanted him to give. And they figured out his numbers were all inflated and phony. And he literally fraudulently took from thousands of people tens of billions of dollars that were poof gone. And they call him a Ponzi scheme. And Charles Ponzi invented the Ponzi. That's what we named the Ponzi scheme after. And so there was once a guy, Charles Ponzi, and he had all these different schemes to rip people off. But they say that this would have made Charles Ponzi blush. Billions of dollars, and a lot of it was from various organizations to help people in need, whatever else, and tried to invest money temporarily. So what he did was truly despicable. And so he was sentenced to 150 years in prison, and at the age of 82, 2021, he passed away in prison, and that's where his life ended. You know, the Bible says the memory of the wicked shall rot, and this is what this person's example is. He's someone who lacks integrity. Now, last week we talked about Daniel and his friends and how they were forced to eat the king's meat, and we made several points about what does it mean to have integrity, and, you know, how does that affect us? If you could show the next slide, please. And we defined, I should back up here, we defined integrity. Integrity is... In the Old Testament, the word is defined as a posture being upright and being forthright, and the perverseness is the idea of being a twisted person or hunched over, and there's something to someone who's forthright, okay? And that's our picture of someone who has integrity. All right, next slide here. We talked about integrity. You know, Daniel's pressured with his friends to eat the king's meat, and we said that integrity is something that I'm willing to follow what's right, even if it's going to cost me. Okay, even if there's a penalty, it's okay, I'm going to still do it. We said that integrity shines during difficult times. You know, Daniel's future is imperiled here. And so for him to do the right thing was a very big deal, and it was very difficult for him. So that's really a testing of who he was and what was on the inside. And there's other young people from Israel. Where were they? Well, the temperature got too hot, and they faded away, right? And then we said integrity is trusting in God. You know, he ultimately looked to God for help. And that's why he could keep going, because he believed in God and God's protection. And I think that's what you have to do is believe in God's protection, because we don't always see a path around us, right? We don't always see how it's going to work out. And so we're really at God's mercy. And then we said number four, integrity gives you a platform of influence. We talked about how the king wanted to sit with him and his friends, and they found him 10 times wiser than all his wisest people. And because Daniel did the right thing, people realized how much he could be trusted. And it gave him a chance to speak to others. And, you know, as people watch us, as people live near us, as people spend time with us, they get a feel for who we are, and we have that chance to earn their trust as well. If we have Christ's work in our life and we have God's love flowing through us, then we can have that impact, okay? So message number two, we're going to look at the end of Daniel's life, okay? This is Daniel the lion's den. At this point, he's probably in his 80s. He's an old guy. Not the spry guy jumping down there that we think. But this is someone who's you know, Paul said he's fought a good fight, he's finished the course, he's kept the faith. This is Daniel at the end, okay? He's had a lifetime of living and choosing integrity. And now at the very end, this is a showcase of what God's done in his life and who he becomes on the inside. And so I'm going to be reading much of the chapter here. Daniel chapter 6, I'm going to begin in verse 4. It says, then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, the princes, the counselors, the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his window being open in the chambers toward Jerusalem, he knelt upon his knee three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or any man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true according to the laws of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Then answereth they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captains of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king, and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is, that no decree nor statute which the king established may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, by God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, and with the signet of the lords, and the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning, and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, serving the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angels, and has shut the lion's mouth, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel out of his den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, but he believed in his God. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them, and breaketh all the bones and pieces of every, wherever they came at the bottom of the den. And the king Darius wrote unto all people, nations, languages, that dwell on all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and steadfast forever. In his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, in his dominion shall be even unto the end. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the scripture and for the example that you've given us in Daniel. I pray that we learn from his example, Lord. I pray that even as you were with him, you'd be with us. Help us to stand for truth. Lord, we live in a wicked and corrupt world. I pray that the light of the gospel would shine through us, Lord, and that we'd make a difference to those around us. We pray for focus this evening, clarity of thought, openness to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So we see this exciting time in Daniel. This is one of the all-time favorite Bible stories, Daniel in the lion's den, right? And the trap that is set for Daniel. And, you know, the other leaders around him are jealous of him, and they really set him up, and they think that they've got the goods on him, and they flatter the king, and the king falls for it, even though he just loves Daniel. And then it looks like all hope is lost, right? And this is when the Lord comes through for Daniel. I want to say that Daniel slept on the lions, and the lions were like giant pillows. I don't know if that's true or not, but it's a good thing to imagine, I guess. But these animals seem docile in the presence of Daniel, but not so much in the presence of his enemies, right? And they become very vicious. So this is a great story of God's deliverance. But let's look at this story and through the lens of integrity and how Daniel chooses to act. So let's look at principles of integrity, 1 of 5. Integrity shows in your attitude. Integrity shows in your attitude. Verse 3, Daniel 6:3, it says, Then Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to send him over the whole realm. What was different about Daniel? It was his attitude. His attitude was different. And this made him stand out. It said he had an excellent spirit. And the idea of excellence is something surpassing or above. And that same word is used when he didn't eat the king's meat. Back in chapter 2 and verse 31, it says that when he didn't eat the king's meat, his countenance was excellent. And that's the idea, is that he looked more radiant than other people. And this is what made him the center of attention. And, you know, as believers, as we have this faith in God, as we have the joy of the Lord in our heart, it's going to affect our countenance, isn't it? And it's going to affect our attitude. And, you know, we're gonna have a different attitude and a different spirit, because we don't have the same values as the people around us. And you know, something that falls apart to us, it's just this world around us. And it's, to us, it's temporary. We're not hanging on so tight to it. So it's going to affect our spirit. And, you know, we're gonna have a different way of perceiving life. You know, we live in a negative, complaining world. And, you know, being a complainer is nothing special. Anyone can do it. Anyone can have a defeated attitude and talk about how bad life is. Oh, my life is awful. My life is terrible. Grumble, grumble, complain. You know, somebody made a statement recently that life is better than it's ever been, and no one's happy about it. And the person tells this story. The first time he had internet, Wi-Fi in an airplane, you know, he said, I got on this airplane, you know, I traveled what would have taken people in covered wagons 4 months to cover in a matter of hours. And, you know, half of them would have died on the trail. And I made it, you know, in a matter of an hour or two. And while I'm in the airplane, we have Wi-Fi. We never had Wi-Fi before. And the very first time we had Wi-Fi, we all logged in with our devices or whatever. And then the guy next to me, his device started slowing down, and he gets all angry and starts cursing. Ah, he's all angry. And it's like you're cursing because you have slow Wi-Fi in an airplane. I mean, just imagine how far human history has come, and yet we don't really appreciate it, do we? It's never quite good enough for us. But this is the attitude people can have, and it's easy to have this negative attitude. And this is one of my favorite stories. So this man, he goes to work, and every day at lunch he complains about how awful his lunch is, and he turns to his coworker, and they're sitting at the same table, and he said, ham and cheese again. I hate ham and cheese. He says, ham and cheese is the worst meal. And his coworker says to him, well, tell your wife that you want turkey next time. And he says, you leave my wife out of this. I pack my own lunches. Well, this is a joke, but isn't this true that a lot of times people complain over the serious things or things that they really could change if they really needed to, and yet they choose to get all upset? Well, this is not how Daniel was, right? His spirit was different. Now, obviously, we all have difficulties. We all have trials. Acknowledging difficult things is not a sin. Talking about difficulties is not wrong. We all have to account for things and figure out what we're going to do. But there's a difference between talking through things and just wallowing in self-pity and, oh, woe is me, and having a defeated spirit. I mean, that's a whole different discussion, right? That's wrong for a believer. Paul writes in Philippians 2, 14 and 15, do all things without murmurings and disputings. He says that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as a light in the world. When we don't have a complaining spirit, it's going to be a testimony to the world around us. And as a believer, I don't have to complain, because I trust in my heart that God will give me direction and guidance. And God will give me what I need. So I don't have to feel defeated and discouraged. I trust in a God, ultimately, who will help me. And that's why I believe I can keep going. You know, all the problems that we face, God can give us the sufficient help that we need to deal with that, to do what we can do. His goodness will keep us going. So I don't have to feel overwhelmed. I wonder about you, what kind of a spirit do you have? Would your coworkers say you have an excellent spirit? Would your family say this about you? Is this your attitude, that you can keep going? Or is this just focusing on yourself and wallowing in your own sadness? I hope this isn't you. I hope that you have a testimony like Daniel and that you're trusting in God. All right, principles of integrity. We talked about the attitude. Number six, integrity will force you to pay attention to details. Ooh, details. How many of you love details? And don't raise your hand. Oh, put them down. Oh, yes. I know, I have to look at details. Details are like my nemesis in life, but I'm working at it. I'm working at it. I'm recovering. Verses 4 and 5, it says, and the president of the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. They're like checking him out. What's he doing? They're going to spy him and watch him. Oh, man. What's he doing wrong? And they looked everywhere, right? But they could find no occasion, no faults, for as much as he was faithful. Meaning, is there any error or fault found in him? Oh, follow me for 5 minutes. You'll find plenty. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find against him concerning the law of his God. Oh, man. There's nothing wrong with this. This guy is squeaky clean, right? I don't know if they're driving behind him and he's following all the traffic signs. And maybe he's wearing a seatbelt. I don't know. My imagination runs wild here. But whatever the rules are, he's not jaywalking, right? And he's not spinning his gun on the ground. Whatever the little ticky-tack rule is, they can't find any infractions at all. I mean, this guy has covered all of his bases. This is remarkable, the amount of attention that he's paying to his life. Imagine if we followed you around for a week. You think we'd find anything? Any shortcuts you might have taken, or maybe someone you didn't tell the whole story to? Well, this would be some of us. I had such an occasion once in my life. I took this class many years ago in seminary called the Church Simulator, and we all had a draft to see who got what position, because we were all seminary people, men and women. And I got the short straw, the long, I don't know, however this works. I was the senior pastor of this imaginary church. And they would send us fake emails from people that were unhappy with my camp and church and music ministry, whatever else. And we had to respond, and we had to have, like, staff meetings. We had problems with the children's ministry, and it was, for an entire week, we ran a fake ministry. It was pretty stressful. But fortunately, it was only fake stress. This was one of the greatest seminar classes I ever took. There was actually a college professor, or seminar professor, Dr. Coons. He spent the entire week following me around and writing down every word that I said. Yes, every single word. And when it was all over, he sat down with me, and we went through every single thing that I said that was wrong, or that confused somebody, or that missed what the person was trying to say, or did not help somebody, or took a shortcut, or didn't properly answer an email. You said this, but they said this, this, this. You only answered 3 or 4 questions. It was life-changing for me. I learned so much about myself. You guys want to know what he said about me? I'll share dirt. I don't even care. I didn't give specific enough directions. That was one of the things. I didn't close the loop enough. I never gave people a final answer. I work on final answers. He said this about me. He said, no, I'm just talking here. He said this about me. He said, you'd be great for like a long car ride because you would just talk the whole time. I said, that's probably fair. He says, but your assistant pastor doesn't care for you too much. I said, well, that's probably also fair. But he listed some things I needed to work on communication-wise. But, eye-opening experience for me, right? Because how many times do we say and do things, but we don't even think about it? It just kind of comes out. And having someone else look at it. But this is Daniel. You know, he's older, and he's grown in grace, right? This is his Christian life, his testimony. And, God's not working his life, and he is someone that takes God's word seriously, and he's incorporated into his everyday routine. And, I think about the word mature in the Scriptures, and the word mature in the Scriptures is we get our word complete. And the idea is a mature person is well-rounded. And sometimes young people, they're good at, like, one or two things. You know, maybe they're, like, they're awesome at, like, organizing at school and their notebooks and their locker. And they come home and then there's, like, dirty clothes everywhere. And it's the idea that they're good at some things but not another. And so the idea of a mature person is they're consistently putting quality out in all the different segments of life. And I think as believers, we need to be complete believers. And Daniel had worked on different areas of his life with God's help. And so there was no glaring area they could point to. And I hope that the Lord does that work in my heart. And this is what I strive after, right? It's easy to focus on the things that you're good at or the things that you enjoy. But maybe for you, it's the thing that doesn't come naturally to you. Maybe that's what the Lord has to work in that area. But this is the life of Daniel, okay? He's someone that's a person of integrity, which means he's looked at the things that are hard, and he's consistent in his walk with the Lord. And each part of his life is where it should be. Is that true of you? Are there glaring areas of your life? Are there do-not-enter areas? Are there blind spots that you'd rather not just talk about? I hope that's not you, okay? I hope as by God's grace, God puts integrity in your life, I hope that you're willing to address those areas that have need. All right, principle of integrity, we're up to number 7. Integrity operates on principle, not circumstance. Verse number 10. Then Daniel knew that the writing was signed. He went into his house, and his window being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem. Why Jerusalem? Well, think about it. This is where his people are supposed to be. They're in captivity because of their sin. Many of them will never return to the land. Many of them just give up, right? They're living in a prosperous place. Why move? But in Daniel's heart, he knows where his God's people are supposed to be, and that's where he's always focused. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Nothing has changed. Then his men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. He's not even trying to hide his prayer. I mean, this guy has guts, doesn't he? This guy has guts. I mean, I would try to pray, but in front of an open window. And you know people are talking garbage behind your back if you're Daniel, right? Because, like, the king loves you. Not this guy, right? He knows exactly what he's going to do. He's not waiting for the right circumstance to do what's right. Okay, it doesn't matter which group he's with or when it is. He's the same guy. You know what you're going to get. There's not a lot of surprises here. And what a blessing he is. You know, it's easy to fit in with the group that you're in, right? You don't want to stick out too much. You don't make too much of a fuss. But this is not Daniel. Now, I don't think that we should be rude to people for the different groups on the one hand. But on the other hand, we shouldn't have to apologize for what's right either. We shouldn't have to apologize for our faith. And so we should stick up. You know, I think about Mount Sinai and Moses going up to get the Ten Commandments, and he leaves his older brother Aaron behind. And when he comes down from the mountain, what does he find? He finds the golden calf at an immoral party. And he asks Aaron, what happened? And Aaron's just like, we threw gold in the fire, and poof. You know, this, look what came out. Really? Poof? Come on now. But this is saying that as long as the right people were around, he did the right things. But when the circumstances changed, what happened? Aaron changed, right? It says at this time in his life, he wasn't committed to the Lord the way he should be. And you know, I hope that's not how we are. I hope that we're people, men and women, that are committed to doing what's right. And I hope that we have an unwavering focus on what the Lord has for us. And, you know, it doesn't matter when circumstances change, you know. We should be the same. We should be committed. We're not looking to our peers for approval, right? We're not looking for the most comfortable circumstance. Hopefully we're the same today as we're going to be the next 10, 20, 30, 50, I don't know, 60 years. I hope that we've really taken the long view of life. Young people, many of you are going to be leaving home soon, graduating. What's going to happen when you graduate? Mom, dad, or dad? Well, if your Christianity is to make mom and dad happy, that's not going to stick with you, is it? That's why you have to make your own decision. And you know what? The Lord can do a miracle in your life, just like he did your parents' life. And you can see God doing things for you out of nowhere, providing for you, protecting you from bad circumstances. You know, maybe you're lost and someone comes to help you just when you needed it, at the critical moment, or just the job opens up when you need it. Or in my case, maybe a nice young lady walks into the library, and I'm like, I'd like to get to know more about her, right? And that's the Lord directing my path on my own, no parents around. The Lord can do that for you, too. But we have to be committed to what the Lord has for us. Let's be people of principle. Let's stay on track. Let's not battle circumstances or peer pressure. Let's have a focus on being people of integrity and pleasing the Lord. All right, we're up to number eighth principle of integrity. Integrity gives you the ability to have a long-term impact. Integrity will give you long-term impact. You know, I think we live in a quick society, right? Everything's fast. Everything's microwaved. Everything's, you know, 5G network, whatever else. Everything's going so quick. But, you know, there's something about lasting in life and being consistent. And as we're consistent over time, we're able to accomplish things that can't happen in the 5 minutes, in the quick, you know, whatever else. And, you know, with ministry, a lot of times God works in lifetimes and in long periods. You know, it's not the five-minute deal. You know, we think about people like Moses. You know, Moses lived 120 years. But what did he do for the first 80? He spent 40 years learning in Pharaoh's palace, not where he wanted to be. He spent 40 years in the wilderness, thinking it was over. And what happened after 80 years? He was ready, the burning bush. Now 40 years leading God's people, right? We think about someone like Joseph. Here he is telling his brothers what to do. They don't really appreciate it. He's got the shiny coat. He's reporting on them. He has dreams about them worshiping him. Not a great thing to bring up at breakfast. From there, he goes to slavery. He has all those years. You think, oh, that's the worst, slavery. Oh, no. He goes to prison from there. That's when you thought slavery was the lowest point. And then all the way, he goes, he's in charge. But then what to do with the brothers? And the Lord has to give him wisdom to sort out their motives. But how many years did it take him to get where he needed to go in life? And so having impact takes time. Having a life that's meaningful can take time. Being successful takes time. Beware of people that have the flash in the pan. They're here 1 minute, they're gone the next. You know, it's nothing special about the person that can't last, can't get along with people. You know, eventually who they are catches up with them. This person's always having to move on and find a new place and a new group. And it's because there's integrity issues they're not dealing with, right? And it's gonna hurt their relationships in their life. This is not who Daniel is, okay? Daniel is someone because of his integrity. He's able to last and have a long-term impact, okay? Because he is a real person. He doesn't have things to hide. He's not going to have these conflicts. He's not going to lose people's trust. If you can imagine, I count five, Pastor counted four. I think it depends how you number them. I think it's, Google says five as well, so I don't know. Anyway. There's a couple of names that could overlap, so I don't know, however you do it. But Daniel lasts 70 years under 4 or 5 administrators. Imagine this. You know, and these people are not friendly to each other. It would be, could you imagine if in a few years, Trump would make a comeback and he wins. And then imagine his chief advisor was the same advisor that was the advisor under President Biden. Could you imagine if he had the same advisor? And then just imagine after, you know, Trump serves, could you imagine if, like, Kamala Harris were to win? And imagine she kept the same advisor. Could you imagine this? And then maybe DeSantis wins next and same advisor is still there. Could you even imagine this happening? This I know, for us this is, everyone gets fired right away. That's how this works, right? But I think Daniel's on a whole different level here, right? And you have these different kingdoms coming and going, and there's loyalty and alliances, but somehow they seem to keep him around, right? And he's at the very top of the echelon. He's one of the cabinet members somehow. Hard to imagine that he could pull this off. But Daniel's integrity makes him so that he's universally trusted by everybody. Everyone says this is the guy. Everyone says, you know, this person will not stab us in the back. This person will do what's best. So this is who Daniel is. And you know that he served the king, and King Darius really loved him. And they had to trick King Darius to change the laws to get him. They flattered him, "Well, we have to worship you," and he falls for it. He gets the laws made, and the laws of the king, the Medes and the Persians, which can't be changed, which they know this because they know he's going to want to change it. So they're manipulating him, manipulating the system, and he falls for it. But when he finds out it's Daniel, boy, he's just devastated. It says in verse 18, "Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him." You know, he goes home, he's lying in bed, he can't sleep. Does he want music? See, we have to, like, use stereos or whatever else. He has, like, actual musicians waiting for him. Must be nice to be king, right? But he's just like, "I don't want music, I don't want any of this stuff." And he just tosses and turns. Can't get any rest. All he can think about is Daniel and how bad he feels. And in verse 19, "Then the king arose very in the morning and went in haste to the lion's den, and he called out for Daniel, 'Daniel, are you okay?'" He's been worried sick about Daniel, and Daniel says, "You know, things are all right. God protected me." Whew. Right? Big sigh of relief there, because Daniel is someone that he trusts. The king's very angry, of course, and the other people get thrown in the lion's den. And then later he declares Daniel's God, the true God, for all the world to see. But Daniel lasts because he has integrity. People can trust him. He doesn't have things to hide. If you get to know him over a period of time, you don't lose respect for him. He's someone that you consistently see who he is and what he stands for. And that's what integrity does. People that lack integrity a lot of times can't last because they get exposed. Or people figure out who they really are, and that's why they just don't last. If you want to last in life, at a job, family relationships, work relationships, school, friendships with other peers, be upfront, be honest, don't be two-faced. Do your work, do your part, do those things, and you'll have a ministry that will be long-term and that can be of great benefit to those around you. Well, I'm going to wrap this up. In conclusion, I don't know what's in your heart. I hope that you're someone that's committed to having integrity. I hope that you're committed to pleasing the Lord in every area consistently, and you're not just someone that gets drawn away by circumstance. Or peer pressure. I hope that you've made up your mind what you're going to do. You don't have to think about it. You just automatically get up and you just do it. And that becomes the habit that God puts in your life. And the Lord can use that. And, by God's grace, we can be that person. And, the Christian life, God gives us that power, doesn't he? He gives us that ability. And God can do that work in our life. And areas that we need to grow in. And I hope that he's doing this work in your life as well. Let's bow our heads. I'm going to pray here in a minute, but I just wonder if there's anyone here and, maybe this is touching on something in your life, and maybe it's a lot of areas. Maybe it's just one area, and there's an area where you're not where you should be, and by God's grace, you want to try to address that. I'd like to just pray for you. Could you just lift your hand up for 1 second so I can pray for you? Anyone here? Okay, I see a hand. Anyone else? Okay, I see other hands. Anyone else? All right, let's pray. Hey, Father, we pray that you do work in our lives, Lord. And that we would have integrity. Lord, I pray for any who may not know you as their Savior, that they'd come to know you as their Savior today, and that you could do that work in their hearts, and that they could grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, and help us to be consistent in our Christian walk, and that you could bless us the way you blessed Daniel, that we could have impact on those around us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Jesus' name, amen.